Hey, we're back again for another edition of our NBA podcast. Cody Grant alongside me, Ryan Horvat, 105.7 FM The Fan. Lots of basketball to talk about. Bucks, LeBron James, Russell Westbrook getting into a big club with the triple doubles. Some surprising teams that are really good and some surprising teams that just flat out suck.
Yeah, there's a lot of those. Pretty good. Good. Cody.
Yeah, basketball, man, this has been one of the best years for NBA basketball in recent history I've seen in not for the Bucks, maybe, because we're expecting maybe a little bit more than what they've done. They're currently the seventh seed in the Eastern Conference, but tough stretch for the Bucks. They have won the last couple of games against mediocre teams, or I guess you can say pretty bad teams. But Brandon Jennings,
that was surprising, right?
Buck. Brandon Jennings is a Buck, and it's 2018, not 2011?
Yeah. It's funny. I was looking for a picture to put up doing a story the other night on the website, and I was like, do we have anything from Brandon Jennings and his time here in Milwaukee? It's
The picture I had to use last week was when he was on the Pistons.
Yeah, that's what I had put up, too. So
I couldn't do anything else.
Yeah, he had last appeared in an NBA game, I think it was in May, and it was when the Wizards were eliminated by the Celtics in the Eastern Conference Finals, and he looked pretty good, man. I mean, granted, you know, he was playing against Memphis, who is brutal, probably the worst team in the league. It's, you know, since the second half of the season especially, they've been terrible. Detroit's been pretty bad, too. But still, I mean, you saw some flashes, and I wasn't really surprised, to tell you the truth. I feel like people just thought maybe he forgot how to play the game of basketball, and that obviously wasn't the case. He's always been an exciting player. He could get buckets. I mean, the assists and the rebounds were kind of surprising to me, but I think we should take it, you know, day by day. Bucks Twitter was hilarious. You know, people saying, offer him the five-year deal right now. You could get rid of Delly. I saw people saying, get rid of Bledsoe.
Brogdon could start. We actually had a caller on the morning show that said they should trade Bledsoe and start Brogdon and then use Brandon Jennings as their backup point guard. It is one game. People have to settle down about that. It was against Memphis. And Memphis is awful.
With no Mike Conley.
18-49 is their record. They've lost 18 straight. They lost 17 straight heading into that game against the Bucks on Monday night. But even though it's against Memphis, as you said, Brandon Jennings never forgot how to play basketball. It was just, I think, a maturity factor with him that he was going to go out, get his shots, get his points. And we saw a different Brandon Jennings that we haven't seen, where he was getting into the paint and finding open guys, finding Zeller, finding Jabari.
12 assists. Know,
kicking it out to the three-point line to open shooters. 12 assists. Also had 8 rebounds. And he just looked comfortable out there. Only 2 turnovers as well.
Yeah, he was definitely impressive. And it's a great story. So he's definitely a guy I'm rooting for. But I'm going to take it, like I said, day by day. Tonight, as we're taping this, they got the Magic tonight. So
another bad team.
I'll tell you, though, I'm actually kind of impressed because in the NBA, especially with this Bucks team, you know, they always play up to their competition. Like, they'll play Houston tough, but they struggle with the teams that stink, and especially on the road. So I think right now that's what you have to be looking for. You need to win the games that are winnable. You know, I mean, suffering a loss to Houston while you're at home sucks, but you need to beat the Detroits. You need to beat Orlando. You need to beat these teams on the road, and that's not always the easiest thing. People don't realize it just because Orlando's, what, 20-48 or whatever they are.
Now, under Prunty, they've been very good against these bad teams.
And that's the thing. You have to play, you know, you can't play down to your competition. You have to treat Orlando like you're playing, you know, Cleveland in Cleveland. So
yeah, because even the Grizzlies in that game on Monday, they made a little run in the game, and they got down to 9, I think, and you're getting kind of worried, but they did close it out. But still, you know, that's a team that you have to put away early and just never look back and just sprint to the finish.
And I'm a gambling man, as you know, and so I take the Bucks in a lot of these games, but these spreads have just been kind of ridiculous, like double-digit spreads. Like tonight, they're 9-point favorites over Orlando, and it's just, that's my problem with them, is they do play down to competition. We were at the Knicks game on Friday together covering that game, and they let the Knicks back in that game. The Knicks had taken the lead even by 1 in the fourth quarter, so that's my only problem. But, you know, as long as you keep winning these games, then I don't get too upset when you lose to a team like Houston or, you know, something like that. So that's what you got to look forward to, is just beating the crappy teams right now to try to push your way up in the standings. Because I think the standings are going to come into play this year more than ever. You know,
absolutely. And in both conferences, really. I mean, it's all bunched up. You see, you know, like the Pacers, or they're a 3 seed today.
They could be a 6
tomorrow.
Maybe
by the end of this week, they could be an 8 seed. Right. Like, that's how close it really is. And same thing in the Western Conference. I mean, I looked the other day, and Minnesota was a 3 seed. Now they're down to 6. I mean, they lost Jimmy Butler, which is going to hurt them drastically, but him being their best player. But it's just crazy how staggered the how bunched up the both conferences are right now in the standings.
Since the second half of the season, who do you think's the most disappointing team?
Most disappointing team in the second half?
Yeah, you could go East or West.
I mean, you got to say San Antonio, right?
Right.
Even without Kawhi Leonard, because they were a three seed for the majority of the season.
And, yeah.
And then they
fell apart.
Now they're at nine.
They're
out of the playoffs. So the playoffs ended today. San Antonio's not in the playoffs.
It's funny.
We haven't seen since, what, 1997 or 98?
It was the year that they pretty much tanked to get Tim Duncan. I mean, everybody went down. David Robinson went down with that injury, and they ended up winning, like, I don't know, like 15 games or something like that. They had the first pick. They took Tim Duncan
and
out of Wake Forest.
And they won the title in 99 against the 8-seed Knicks in the lockout year.
And every year since, you know, they've been one of the top teams, if not the top team in the West. And it's funny because I think it was our first podcast that we did here, and I said that my biggest surprise of the first half of the season was just how big of a mess that team was, because you never hear of anything outside of the locker room or inside of the locker room. Nothing really ever comes out. I mean, they're always a first-class organization, and you're jealous of them. No matter what team you root for, you're always jealous because everybody seems to get along. They always get, like, guys out of nowhere that could fill a role, you know, guys that have been out of the league, like Boris Diaw. And, you know, Popovich gets the most out of these guys. And now we're seeing, you know, Kawhi Leonard, is he healthy? Is he not healthy? I think we're seeing the same thing that we've seen with players in the past couple of years, where guys are just thinking about their next big deal. They're thinking about what they're worth and endorsements, and they
Derrick
don't want to rush to get back. Derrick Rose is who I think of. You know, they have their side people that are in their ear, but then the team doctors are saying, hey, you're ready to come back. But, I mean, I trust the player. I think he knows his body more than the team doctor does, but I think that that's what's going on right now in San Antonio, and it's just funny to see because usually you never see problems like that. Like, is Kawhi Leonard going to come back this season? At first they were saying he wasn't. Then last week he was supposed to be back as early as tomorrow night. Now he's not playing tomorrow night. So it's just kind of a mess, and it's just weird to see San Antonio in that position.
Yeah, San Antonio, and I always look at them as the Patriots of the NBA,
right?
Because they can plug-and-play players, and they have always been on top so consistently. They're always a team where you say, this team can contend for a title. I mean, you looked at last year against Golden State, they would have blown them out in game one, and then Kawhi goes down on the play by Zaza, and of course we all know what happens after that. And Kawhi Leonard's a player that you would never think would be in this situation, as quiet as he is, as well-mannered as he is,
mm-hmm.
when you see all the memes of Kawhi, like, never smiling or whatever, and saying, you know, this is as mad as he gets. And he's at a point now where, will he be a Spur?
And that's what I'm wondering.
Something that we didn't even think about would happen with Kawhi.
And that's what I'm asking myself is, you know, if he's not happy there, are they going to just rebuild that team? Because every night they have a new starting lineup. Like, Tony Parker is getting older. You know, Ginobili's obviously get older. So those guys aren't even in the starting lineup. Danny Green's not even in the starting lineup. Every night they're throwing out guys, and it's just a bad situation there. And I wouldn't be surprised if they don't make the playoffs. All these up-and-coming teams are finally showing up this year, like Anthony Davis and the Pelicans. So, you know, the fact that they're taking a step down, you know, as they get older doesn't surprise me, but just the fact of, like, what's coming out is kind of surprising, especially with Aldridge and Kawhi. But we'll see what happens if he actually comes back this year and how he looks, you know, because these guys have been playing all season without him, how he gets back in the offense, and it'll be interesting to see. But I don't expect anything from the Spurs. We keep talking about it, but it's going to be the Rockets and the Warriors. And
yeah, I think that's pretty much written in stone right now. One of those teams is going to be one, one of them is going to be two, and they're going to meet in the Western Conference Finals, and it should be a good one.
Oh.
One thing I want to bring up, getting back to the Bucks real quick,
yeah.
is, you know, obviously Brandon Jennings, what he did, we went through that, but also Jabari Parker. We had John Horst, general manager of the Bucks, on the morning show today on Chuck and Winkler, and this is a quote I want to read really quick to you, and I want to gauge your reaction. He said, if Jabari Parker is a long-term piece for us, which we believe he is, we are going to figure out a way to have him and continue to build this team. Is that John Horst saying we're bringing Jabari Parker back?
I think they're at least planning on bringing him back.
I mean, even if he wants that max deal, talking 5 years, maybe $146 million, which would probably be the low end of that max deal. I mean, he can make up to, what, 172,
yeah,
I believe?
Yeah.
But Parker has been so good for the Bucks since coming back, and it seems to – we talk about Kawhi, what's he going to look like when he comes back? That was the same question we asked about Jabari.
Right.
And he fit right in with his team off the bench. And it looks like the game just comes so easily to him. And in my opinion, I think when he's fully healthy, which he is right now, yeah, you can say that, but he's still on a minutes restriction. He's still playing about 25 minutes a game. But when he's playing 30, 35 minutes a game, when that point comes, he's the second best player on this team.
And I think the best part about this whole, the way that this is all going to fall into place is that it's going to be this offseason when he's going to be looking for his money. Because I think that the Bucks are going to have a shot, a realistic shot, at giving him what he wants. I don't know if it's going to be a max deal, but, I mean, you got LeBron going on the open market, which realistically, who has a shot at getting LeBron? Two or three teams. But everybody's at least going to throw their hat, you know?
Yeah, everybody. I mean, LeBron James is available. You have to go after him. But, yeah, he's, I'm sure he has his teams narrowed down to, I still think, Cleveland and Houston.
Or
and
L.A. You know, L.A.'s got the money.
He's not going to come to Milwaukee.
No, absolutely,
as great as
it
would be.
But what I'm saying is, you know, who else is realistically going to be looking at Jabari and willing to offer him what the Bucks can offer him? I don't know. You know, maybe Chicago, but they're still rebuilding.
Actually, I tend to disagree with you on that. I think there's a lot of teams out there that would offer Jabari a max contract. Obviously not as high as the Bucks can because of all the situation where, you know, the guy you draft, you can offer him the most money. But there's teams out there that I guarantee will offer as much money as they're allowed by NBA standards to offer Jabari, because we see all the time players are overpaid constantly.
Right.
Not saying that a max is overpaying for Jabari because the ceiling is so high as a superstar player, but there's teams out there. I mean, Phoenix is a team that I think would love to bring Jabari Parker in. You look at other teams in the Eastern Conference, like New York would love to have a guy like Jabari.
Yeah.
You know, maybe Chicago would love to have a team. He's from Chicago, so... Now, it didn't work out last time so well when they got a kid from Chicago and Derrick
Especially
Rose.
With the two torn ACLs.
Exactly,
right?
And Jabari is pretty much on the same boat as Rose was in that situation.
But that's a good point that you made, though, because that's the other thing is the teams that lose out on LeBron, then you're always looking for that consolation prize, like Carlos Boozer with the Bulls, or like Harrison Barnes going to the Mavericks. I mean, he got crazy money.
Yeah, he did.
And he's a decent player. I mean, he won a chip in Golden State, and then he demanded the money, and he got it. And I think that is what you could see as a team like Phoenix and... I don't know. I mean, I'm sure Jabari likes being in Milwaukee. Obviously, he's close to where he grew up. You know, I mean, I think him coming back from the ACL injury and getting the standing ovation, I think he knows that the people out here care about him. But it's hard to say what he's going to do when all that money gets thrown at you, the endorsements get thrown at you if you're playing in a bigger market.
You never know. Because you've heard it from players in the past before. You know, Kevin Durant saying he's not
never leaving right.
OKC. And, of course, he has the opportunity. And I'm not ripping on him. Don't get me wrong. I'm all for what Kevin Durant did, but it's players will say these things. It's just like in life.
Right.
You say something, and then 3 years later, you see the world in a different light, and you have a different opportunity that you didn't believe you would have 3 years before. You know, it's tough to say that, oh, I'm never leaving this place,
right?
Because you don't know what's going to happen 3 years down the line.
Do you think Jabari gets back in the starting lineup before the end of the season,
yes,
before the playoffs?
I do. I do think he gets back in the starting lineup. I know there's only a month left.
Right.
But how can you not have this guy starting? If you want to make a legit playoff run,
right,
how can you not have Jabari Parker in the starting lineup?
That's what I'm asking myself. And, I mean, obviously it's not who starts the game. It's who finishes the games. You hear that all the time, especially in the NBA. But I'm ready to see him back in the starting lineup, and I think that'll make him happy. I mean, he doesn't seem to be too pissed off about it or anything like that.
Yeah,
but I don't know what's going on behind closed doors.
He's
a hard guy to read, too, because he's a nice guy.
I mean, we're in the locker rooms, and we see these players, but we don't have that full access of what they're talking about with Joe Prunty and closed doors and all that. But the thing I gauge from Jabari, he doesn't look upset that he's not playing. I mean, I think he understands why they're being so cautious with him.
Right,
you have to be on the flip side of that, Jabari, as a NBA player and as he should be thinking, he wants to get his money. And if I was in his shoes, I would be like, come on, guys, you know, throw me a bone here. Let me play a little bit more so I can, you know, showcase what I can do for you guys on a larger minute base.
Right. It'll be interesting to see what happens this offseason, and I think a lot of it will have to do with what happens in the playoffs. I mean, obviously, you're not going to probably head to the Eastern Conference Finals, but if you win a series and Jabari averages 20-10, then I think he could ask for max money.
Oh, absolutely.
I think either way, he's looking for money.
They need to win a series. I mean, I think we've been over this over and over
again.
The Bucks need to win
That's
got to
be step one,
series.
Right.
And we'll continue to talk about that throughout our podcast as we get closer to the playoffs. Right now, some storylines around the NBA definitely want to touch on. We touched a lot on the Kawhi Leonard situation in San Antonio already. San Antonio on the verge of missing the playoffs, still a month left in the season. How about the Russell Westbrook, what he did? 100 triple-doubles now.
That's ridiculous.
It's a milestone. It's an awesome stat, triple-doubles. I mean, when you used to watch NBA, you know, 10 years ago, triple-double, whenever you see your guy get a triple
double. It was a special occasion, right?
Yeah. Now it's like, Russell, we expect this from you.
Every night. I mean, Brandon Jennings almost had a triple double the other night.
He was two rebounds away.
But yeah, last season.
Brandon Jennings for a 4-year max contract.
That was my favorite part about last season, was just every night Russell Westbrook with a triple double. Just, you know, that chase to average a triple double was so fun to watch. And then this year, you know, I was like, okay, the stats, the numbers are going to go down a little bit because he's playing with guys that need the ball in their hands, like Paul George and Melo. And Melo obviously is fat and slow. I mean, he's not Melo from 4 or 5 years ago even. But, you know, still Paul George is still Paul George, but the numbers are still there for Westbrook, and that's been the most surprising thing for me is, I mean, Westbrook's going to Westbrook. He's still going to take 30 shots a game, and he's gonna pad his numbers a little bit, especially when they're playing crappy teams. But, man, is he fun to watch. Top five player in the NBA to watch, in my opinion.
So as far as the 100 triple-double club,
mm-hmm.
Russell Westbrook joins Jason Kidd, Magic Johnson, and the Big O, Oscar Robertson.
Yeah.
So pretty elite company. But we've seen what Russell Westbrook can do, obviously. You mentioned he's one of the most exciting players. I noticed you didn't say he's one of the top five best players, one of the top five most exciting players.
Yeah.
Do you think that Russell Westbrook can ever win consistently playing the way he's playing? I mean, because I love Russell Westbrook. Don't get me wrong. I love the guy. I love what a competitor he is.
Yeah.
And obviously, when you talk about NBA and excitement, Russell Westbrook is right up there with some of the most fun guys to watch in the NBA.
Yeah.
But when you look at his team, you mentioned Carmelo Anthony, not the same as he used to be, right?
No.
He's still a good player.
Still a good player. I mean, he's serviceable. He'll knock down some shots in the fourth quarter for you.
You mentioned Paul George. He's Paul George.
Right.
You also mentioned, you didn't mention Steven Adams.
Also a solid player.
Also a solid player. Right now, Thunder, they're fourth in the Western Conference. Can they compete with Golden State, or can they compete with Houston?
No, I don't think so. I mean, I think that they might be able to win a game or two in the series, but I don't even think they could take Houston or Golden State to seven. It's not a knock on Westbrook either. It's just those teams play team basketball. And Westbrook, I mean, like I said, the numbers are still there. 21 triple-doubles this season, even with guys that need the ball in their hands like Carmelo and Paul George. But I think that his style of play, I think he could have won. I mean, we go back 2 years ago, we talked about this a couple podcasts ago when they had the 3-1 lead on Golden State the year before Durant left. I thought that if Durant would have stayed in Oklahoma City, they would have beat the Warriors that following year. Or I think they would have at least had a shot. I mean, they took him to seven the year before. Now, without Kevin Durant, who's probably top three player in the world, I don't think that Westbrook could get past the hump. Not with Paul George, not with Carmelo Anthony. And that's not a knock against Carmelo Anthony. This team's just not built the same way. And I don't really know what they're missing, because on paper, you know, that looks like a great team to play with in 2K. You know, three guys that could score 40 when they want. But the brand of basketball they play, I don't think they could compete with Houston or Golden State. Anybody else, I think they could probably win a series against in the West. You know, they could beat the Pelicans, they could beat the Clippers, San Antonio.
What about Portland?
Portland's really fun to watch.
They're sitting at three right now.
And Damian Lillard's probably the most underrated player in the NBA.
Yeah, I've always liked Damian Lillard. I'm not a huge fan of his rap career, but I love his basketball career.
He's so good.
He is such a stud on the court. And him paired with CJ McCollum, that's one of the best backcourts.
And CJ's really good, too.
Underrated, right, in the NBA. Yeah. I mean, a lot of people, they don't get a lot of notice.
And I don't know, you know, it would be different, like, in the West if they got more recognition. I understand out here because, you know, they don't play until, like, 9:30. Their games tip off at, like, 9:45. So I understand a lot of people in Milwaukee or in the Midwest don't get the chance to watch Damian Lillard. But I don't know. The fact that he has to fight for a spot in the All-Star game every year is BS, because he's one of the top 10 players in the league. And I don't know why people sleep on him, because he is fun to watch, too.
To
I mean, he can
guys,
do it all.
Though. I mean, he's got to fight Steph Curry. He's got to fight Russell
Chris
Westbrook.
Paul.
He's got to fight Chris Paul.
That's the problem, yeah.
There's so many great guards in the NBA right now, and especially at that point guard position. But Damian Lillard, I've always been a huge fan of him. And every year he is an All-Star snub, but you look at the guys ahead of him, and it's like, okay, I can see why you're putting those guys in over Damian Lillard, but it's unfair for Damian Lillard.
It'd be so awesome if he had like a solid wing player or like a stretch four that could get you 20 and 10 a night. I mean, they have some good pieces on that team, don't get me wrong, but if he had another superstar, then I think that would help him out a lot, because then people would actually watch the Trailblazers, you know. But like I said, they play at 9:30, 9:40. I understand why people aren't watching those games, but if you get the chance, you should, because he's awesome. I got him right up there with Westbrook. In fact, I would probably take Lillard over Westbrook. I don't know.
Like, if you were to start a team and Lillard
less
and
injuries
Westbrook
in the past. Yeah,
you would take Lillard. Yeah, it's.
I think he could fit into a system, but I hate saying that about Westbrook though, because I hate those guys.
Lillard's a better shooter.
Yeah,
when you talk about the NBA, it's a shooter's league. You got to hit the three ball. Not that Westbrook can't shoot from downtown, but Lillard is a much better three-point shooter than Westbrook.
What I love about Westbrook is like the same thing that I hate about him. I mean, if his shot's off, it doesn't matter. He's still taking 40 of those bad boys. I mean, he's going to try to get to the rim.
He puts a shot up.
And that's the problem. Just go to the rack, though, when your three-pointer's not falling or when it's short on that night. But he doesn't care. He'll shoot 12 threes. It just doesn't really matter to him. But I'm not going to sit here and dog on him because he's one of the top players in the NBA. And I'm so sick of the he'll never win a chip conversation because we don't know that. I mean, I don't know with this, you know, Oklahoma City team. And we'll see. I don't even think Paul George stays. Do you?
No, I don't think he
does. I think he'll be in L.A., especially with the way that they're playing right now. That's something that we should talk about because I watched them last night, and they're pretty impressive. I'll tell you that. Julius Randle finally is like, he's finally NBA ready. Like those first couple of years, people were saying bust because of the injuries, but he's looking good. He's got the NBA body now. He's playing solid. Ball's looked good.
Lonzo Ball's a good basketball player.
And if you, I mean, granted, his shot's broke, but that's going to develop a little bit. I mean, and he's just a great playmaker. His court vision is ridiculous. So if you bring in a guy like Paul George, it'll be interesting to see. You know, they got a lot of money.
They do, and they're going to have enough money to sign two max deals as well. And I don't expect Isaiah Thomas to be back with the Lakers next season. They're going to cut bait with him. But Lonzo Ball, he's a good point guard, and he takes a lot of criticism, I think unwarranted criticism, because of his dad, LeVar, who
right.
can't shut his mouth.
And that's the great thing about like LeVar being out of this country
exactly,
right now.
Exactly, yeah.
Is
just
that
get him
notice
out of the
how
way.
Well they've
and
been playing.
Now, and Lonzo's not a talker. He's quiet.
Mm-hmm.
He keeps to himself mostly, but he is just a prototypical point guard. He's 6'5", 6'6", can
yeah.
see over the defense, has great vision. He sees plays before they happen.
Yeah.
He has great basketball instinct, and the shot is broke.
He reminds me of Jason Kidd, like young
bit,
Jason
yeah.
Kidd, like
no,
Dallas.
He does. Jason Kidd, yeah. a little Steve Nash.
Yeah.
He's got some flair to him, and he's always looking to make the extra pass to his teammates. He's always looking to make his teammates look better before he makes himself look better. And that's something that is commendable to say about a young guy. We spoke about Brandon Jennings beforehand. He didn't
yeah.
do that early in his career.
No.
You know, he was worried about his scoring. Lonzo Ball's not that way. Ball's worried about what's best for the team, which is crazy to think that he came out from LeVar.
I know, exactly.
Because they're two completely different people in the eyes of the public.
And you were hearing that even when he was at UCLA last year. All of his teammates were like, man, he's the best teammate. Like, yeah, his dad's crazy, but he's a great teammate, so don't let that reflect on him. I had this, like, crazy scenario in my head. Like, what if LeBron and Isaiah Thomas, like, really do like each other and like playing with each other, but LeBron knew that Isaiah Thomas wasn't going to be himself this year coming off that hip injury, and he's like planning to go to Los Angeles, and they cut all that money. And so next year they're going to play together, all of them, and maybe add a piece like Paul George.
I wish I had the Twilight Zone sound.
I don't know. I don't know if that's realistic, but it's just so weird to me.
Things have happened, right?
Because Isaiah Thomas has scored, what, like 20 points in like the last four games, so he's starting to look like himself a little bit again, but I don't know. I don't think LeBron really wants to play with him. I don't know that LeBron leaves the East. I don't think he leaves Cleveland. I've said that repeatedly, but
yeah.
I don't know. Los Angeles would be a solid fit, except for the fact then you got all the competition in the West.
The one thing about LeBron is you're talking about him possibly going to the West. I agree with you on that. I don't see why he would.
Why would you? Yeah.
Everything I'm seeing, everything points to, he's going to end up in Houston or LA, but it's like, why would you want to come over to the West where you're going to have a much tougher road to the finals where you're going to have to play Houston. You're going to have to, if he doesn't go to Houston,
see, if he goes
you're
going to
have
Houston.
To play Golden State. Now, if he goes to Houston, that's a different story
yeah.
because you're putting LeBron with James Harden and Chris Paul.
I think they could beat the Warriors.
That's a team that can beat the Warriors, I think. That's a team, that's a big three
yeah.
that I would most like, more times than not, take over the big three of Kevin Durant, Klay Thompson, and Steph Curry. But then the X factor, of course, is Draymond Green.
As far as real quick, the Western Conference goes with Steph Curry dealing with the ankle issue again. He's going to be out for at least another week, we know for sure. Does that worry you a little bit and maybe have you lean towards Houston taking the West this year?
Does it worry me?
Not in the regular season. I'm saying Western Conference finals.
Not at all. Not at all. Because I still think that, now, take Steph Curry off this team.
They're not winning the championship.
They're not winning the championship, but they're still championship contenders.
Yeah.
They're still one or two best team in the West.
Mm-hmm.
There's still a team that I think that can go out and still beat Houston. But Curry being out for how many games is he supposed to be out for?
Well, Well, originally they were saying it could be like a month or two, and now they're saying at least another week is what.
As long as they have Curry in the.
They've been without him for three games.
As long as they
now,
have him against Houston, they're fine. They're gonna beat whoever they play in the first or second round without Curry.
It's funny watching that offense without Curry.
I don't think they're gonna miss Curry in the playoffs. I think he'll play. I mean, maybe he'll miss the first couple of games of the first round. But if you're the Warriors and you're playing the Clippers in the first round, you don't need Steph Curry to beat the Clippers.
No, you wouldn't need him until the Houston series. I mean, that's kind of what they did with him last year.
Yeah.
You know, is just rest him until you really need him. I mean, because Kevin Durant's been solid these past three games. I think he's had 29, 36, 33, 40, and 39 in their losses to Portland and Minnesota. So obviously he could handle the scoring load. But yeah, come playoffs, you need a healthy Steph Curry. And it's that ankle. If it was anything else, like a sprain, well, I don't know. Any other injury, it wouldn't really worry me as much as the ankle, because it's like always just a recurring injury for him.
Yeah, but you know what, too? When you think about it, if you're a Warriors fan, the best thing that's ever happened to your franchise is Steph Curry getting hurt with the ankle, because that allowed them to not pay him as much. And
right.
They paid him the 4 years, $44 million. That ended up allowing them to sign
Kevin Durant.
Last season. And, of course, you know, that's all she wrote, another championship. They're probably going to have another one this year, and they'll have three championships with Steph Curry. Kevin Durant will have two, and they're the best team in the NBA right now. Kevin Durant, though, like you said, third best player in the league. I've always said I think he's the second best player in the league.
Behind LeBron.
And I think Curry's up there number three. I think Curry kind of gets diminished a little bit with how good he is because Durant's over
because
there.
Because he's playing with Durant.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And it's like, Curry's really good. I mean, this dude won a title before Durant got there.
It's so hard to number guys in today's league because everybody just does different things. You know, it's hard to say does Draymond fall in the top 50 category even though his numbers aren't there every night because of what he does.
Tell me that Draymond Green would be a scrub on any other team. I just don't believe that.
No.
I mean, this guy does so much on the court. His statistics don't show what he really does.
Right.
And I think if Draymond was on a team where he had to be the one or two guy, he would be a 20-point-per-game guy.
If he was in, like, Dallas or something like that, he could average 22.
He's not a scorer by no means, but he can shoot. He can shoot from downtown. He can hit threes. He's just a guy. He's just does all the ugly work. He's a bitch on the court.
Yeah.
He's a great defender.
I mean, he's a great defender. I mean, you could run the offense through him.
He's more than just a system player,
but he is in a great system. So,
it's like
going into football, like people saying Tom Brady is a system quarterback. No, you put him in Oakland or in Cleveland, he's probably still Tom Brady, but yeah, he's probably not competing for a Super Bowl.
You text me today, you want to talk some NFL. We'll get some NFL on this podcast. We may have to change the name because we don't have a name, but we just call it the NBA podcast.
It fits.
But, I mean, there's so many sports topics I want to go over on this podcast in the near future. But yeah, really quick before we get back to NBA, I saw people talk about Tom Brady after the Super Bowl, and they're saying that, oh, he's a system quarterback. Mitch Trubisky could flourish in the system. Mitch Trubisky's not winning MVP at 40 years old in this.
Yeah, they clearly didn't watch that Super Bowl either.
Tom Brady, say what you want about Tom Brady. You cannot say that he's not a great quarterback. And I personally think he's the greatest of all time.
Mm-hmm.
But I can understand the argument with Rodgers, with Joe Montana, with John Elway. But you cannot tell me that Tom Brady's not one of the five greatest quarterbacks of all time. You're just wrong if you leave him out of there.
Yeah, so that's why and I go the same way with Draymond, like being a system player. It's like, no, obviously he could hoop. I mean, you go back and watch him in Michigan State. I mean, the guy could ball. One last thing that I really wanted to talk about is how damn good the Raptors are. I keep saying they're going to falter in the playoffs, and I really don't know if that's the case. Zach Lowe just did that piece in ESPN, which was pretty interesting, about how they changed their whole offense, brought in this dude that was like an offensive guru. I mean, the biggest takeaway is DeMar DeRozan is an outside threat, which he just hasn't been. I mean, his mid-range game has always been solid, but now that he can knock down threes, I read that like they changed their whole offense, and it was tough to ask DeRozan and Kyle Lowry. All the young guys, obviously, it was easy, but Lowry still gets pissed off. I read, you know, when he's like driving the lane and kicking out the shooters and they're missing their threes, that he does get upset. But it's obviously working, that new system that they put in, and I think they really have a legit shot the more and more I watch them. I went back and watched that game because, we were at the Bucks game last Friday, Bucks-Knicks, but I went back and watched the highlights of that game against Houston, and they're for real. I mean, I know it's the regular season, and people say the regular season doesn't matter, but the way that they're playing basketball right now, I think the Raptors have taken over as my favorite to win the East. I think I think that they could beat LeBron in a seven-game series.
I also think the biggest thing is you mentioned LeBron there. You didn't mention Cleveland. You mentioned LeBron.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think Cleveland's that good.
No.
And I don't think Boston's that good. And after Boston and Cleveland, who else can realistically step up to the plate and beat Toronto? Yeah, I'm in a full agreement with you. As I get closer to the playoffs,
right?
I have trouble looking at Toronto and saying they're not going to come out of the East.
Right.
Even though their history shows that they haven't done it, but this is not the same team.
It's not. I mean, every year they rely on Kyle Lowry and he kind of disappears, but I don't think you have to this year. And I think he's a different player where he doesn't have to take 20, 25 shots. I mean, he just has to run the offense. And they have the bench. Their bench is ridiculous. I think they have the best bench in the league. You look at the names on that bench and you're like, what the hell are you talking about? But do yourself a favor, watch the Raptors play, and then tell me if I'm crazy or not. It's hard to bet against LeBron in the playoffs, but I don't know. The team around him, I don't think that they could get it done. I think LeBron is going to have a postseason to remember. I think he's going to average like literally like 40 points per game, kind of like he had to do in the finals when they came back from 3-1. He's going to average a triple-double in the playoffs. I don't think it's going to be enough.
Yeah, LeBron's the greatest player in the NBA today. He may be the greatest player of all time. There's no disputing that. But you look at his team around him, it's a team sport.
Mm-hmm.
The NBA is a team sport. You cannot win by yourself. Jordan needed Pippen. Shaq needed Kobe, I should say, I guess, because Shaq was still the MVP on that team. Kobe,
yeah.
When he won his titles, he needed Pau Gasol. He needed Meta World Peace at the time.
Yeah, you need a 1A, 1B.
Garnett needed Paul Pierce and Ray Allen. You need other great players to win titles. Kevin Durant needed Steph Curry. He needed the Warriors. LeBron James doesn't have that. Does not have those players. I like George Hill. I like Jordan Clarkson. I like Kevin Love.
I love Rodney Hood.
Rodney Hood, yeah, but those players are not.
He's not a superstar.
They're not superstars.
And yeah, getting Kevin Love will help a little bit. And here's what I'm wondering. Like, we talked a little bit about like Kawhi Leonard and the team saying he's ready to come back pretty much and him not being ready to come back. I keep wondering if like Brad Stevens is saying that Gordon Hayward's not making an appearance all year, but like really in the back of his mind, they're holding out to hope that he comes back for the playoffs, but they just don't want to put all that pressure on him in case he can't. But if he comes back, then I think the Celtics might be my favorite. But it's, you know, it's tough to say without Gordon Hayward, just because as good as they've been in the regular season, now Marcus Smart's out indefinitely. It's like when Kyrie is off, which is very rare, but like who's the second option on that team?
Yeah, Horford? Hayward was healthy. I mean, that would probably be my choice right now.
Because that's
22
points a game right there, you know?
They would probably be the number one seed right now. They would be ahead of Toronto, in my opinion, if they had Gordon Hayward. I mean, that's a legitimate all-star.
It sucks because we didn't even get a glimpse of what that team could have been because it was literally.
No,
I don't either. But
I just hope Gordon Hayward comes back and is healthy.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think he'll be this year.
I don't either.
I mean, is there a chance? Yeah, there's always a chance. I don't see it happening.
I don't either.
Injury that gruesome. But Toronto, man, they're really good.
And they are.
I don't think there's a team in the East that even the Cavs, even Team LeBron, I don't know if they're going to have enough to get by. And LeBron's going to do everything he can. LeBron will be the best player on the court in that series.
Oh, absolutely.
But then you got DeMar DeRozan to worry about, Kyle Lowry to worry about, Valanciunas to worry about. This is a good team.
It's so cliche, but like in this article I read, and even Zach Lowe said it, they pass up good shots for better shots, and that's something that they haven't done. Like Kyle Lowry would force shots, you know, DeRozan would force shots, and just the fact that he's an outside threat, I mean, it's just huge now. And then the pieces around him, they have great pieces. They got young guys, they got veterans, they got Ibaka. I mean, I think that they're going to be a tough out. But I've said this before, and then they've let me down. Yeah, you can't count out LeBron, and you can't count on Kyle Lowry to take over a playoff series. So we'll wait and see, but they have impressed me, and I go back and I watch them, and they're fun to watch, too.
I think no doubt, though, Dwayne Casey, Coach of the Year.
Oh, absolutely, Coach of the Year.
I mean, they have a month of the season left, and
between
their schedule,
they
don't play hardly any playoff teams in the West.
No.
So I think they're going to coast through the rest of the season pretty easily. Dwayne Casey will win Coach of the Year, and great all-around season for Toronto. Number one seed, they will finish the number one seed most likely in the Eastern Conference and have home court advantage all the way through until the finals if they do make it where they lose to Golden State.
Yeah, and I don't even think, and I think that, I don't know how good of a series that would be. Like, it was fun watching.
I think Golden State would win in five games.
Toronto matches up better with Houston than they do Golden State. And they don't match up all that well with Houston, but I feel like they could steal a game or two. I don't think that they could steal a game in the finals if they were to go against the Warriors. I
think maybe they can steal game one because I think Golden State would be coming in with, you know, like how Allen Iverson stole game one from the Lakers in 2001,
yeah,
just because Golden State's like, let's see, let's just give 80% effort tonight.
Yeah.
And then, you know, they lose by like a last second buzzer beater, and they said, okay, we'll give 90% effort the next night.
Exactly.
You know, and then blow them out by 10, 15, 20 points or something like that.
I want a competitive finals. That's why I almost have to root for LeBron. He's the only guy I trust against Golden State. And
he could even get swept by Golden State.
You know what I mean?
Yeah. 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 I mean, last year's finals, LeBron was terrific.
Yeah.
I mean, he was unbelievable. And they won one game.
Yeah, and they lost 4-1. I mean, exactly.
It's tough. Golden State may be the greatest team of all time. Yeah, anything else you want to add?
I think that's pretty much it
Grizzlies
for me today.
Suck.
The Grizzlies stink.
Wins.
Yeah, and I need to stop betting on the Grizzlies. Every night they're double digit dogs, and for some reason I love that in NBA, especially when the team's at home. Them and the Detroit Pistons continue to screw me over. You're like, oh, they got to win a game. They got to at least be in a game. No, they get destroyed by 30 every night. The Pistons, since that Blake Griffin trade, have been brutal. Remember, they won like the first three or four, and everybody's like, man, they look good. Blake Griffin.
Yeah, Blake Griffin's not a superstar.
No, he's not. I don't think he ever was. I mean, he was a 2010 guy for you for a little bit, but those days are over.
Elton Brand was a 2010 guy.
Exactly. When you lose it, you lose it quick.
Absolutely.
That team's going to be a mess, and now you got, I don't even know what they're going to do. I mean, Detroit's just going to be a mess, I think, and for the rest of my life, though.
Yeah, so.
They stink.
Memphis, surprise team, though. You know, we didn't know about Michael Conley, and yeah, he was going
to
go
down. He's making a lot of money.
But it's that Memphis Grizzlies team.
Even with Conley, they'd stink.
I mean, they don't have much of a history, even though they retired Zach Randolph's number, and they're probably going to retire Marc Gasol's number, and they're probably going to retire Mike Conley's number.
Man, Gasol kind of lost it quick. I don't know if it's just like, why be interested at this point of the season, but he could barely move on the court when he is out there.
John Henson stuffed him.
Yeah. I mean, he doesn't even run anymore, Gasol. He just kind of walks up and down the court.
He's at the point where it's like,
screw it. We stink. You know, I want to get out of here. That's what I would be thinking. Like, do you think they're even going to keep Conley, or do you look to package him? Because you're going to have to rebuild that team. Like, what's Mike Conley? That's why I was surprised that they gave
Conley's
him all that money.
Too. What is he?
It's like, well, he's like 30 only, I think,
yeah.
Right?
But I mean, like, 29, if you're trying 30. To rebuild, you don't want a 30-year-old
well,
point
exactly,
guard.
Especially with, you need. I mean, today's league, you need a point guard. You need a top 10 point guard.
I've always liked Michael Conley. He's always been a guy that I thought was very underrated, an all-star caliber point guard that just couldn't make it because of the point guards in the Western Conference. But Mike Conley's not a team that you're going to – not a player they're going to build around. He is 30. Yeah, October 11th.
Yeah, he could run a good system. He could be a great point guard. I mean, like, he'd be great on the Spurs or a team that's ready to win, you know, that has a few pieces.
But not Memphis. Rebuilding.
And let's be honest, Memphis isn't bringing any superstars in through free agency.
Nobody wants to go play in Memphis.
The Bucks have a better shot because you have Giannis to offer and possibly Jabari. Yeah. But Memphis, it's like, hey, do you want to come here and play with Mike Conley? No, not really. I'm good.
So prediction tonight's game, Bucks, they win? It's
Bucks,
magic.
Yeah, they're 9-point favorites, so they'll win by 8.
So
guaranteed.
Take the magic plus nine. Cover tonight. That's
at
tips
home.
From Ryan. Dude, when you bet, why don't you just bet against your heart?
What do you mean?
Like, you know, you're saying you continue to
I do
to
sometimes.
Take, oh, does it work for you?
Sometimes. You know, I'm 50-50. I've been hitting a lot of college hoops. See, this is my favorite time of year. I'm jacked for the tournament.
See, I don't bet because I'm usually like 70-30 in the opposite direction.
I laid a lot of money on Virginia to win it. I just feel like this is finally their year. Yes, they're boring as hell, but that's a great basketball team. And they produced Malcolm Brogdon, so...
Yeah.
Shout out there. But
hopefully Brody comes back soon.
Sometimes, like, yeah, I do go against my heart. But like I said, NBA, I love double-digit underdogs, and I always love the Warriors. The Warriors have had a tough time covering this year. Every night they're like 16, 17-point favorites, so it's just so tough. In the NBA, every team makes a run, usually in the fourth quarter. But nope. The Pistons lose by 30.
When the Bucks go down by 20 in the first quarter tonight, don't turn it off.
I don't stress about that.
Don't get mad. They will come back. Jabari will do his thing. Brandon Jennings will have a quadruple double, and the Bucks will win by 15.
I agree.
Okay.
Bucks will win by at least, I hope by at least 15. This Magic team is crap.
They're
but they
bad.
Are at home.
20 wins.
We'll see.
Season.
We'll see what happens.
John Hammond? Return of John Hammond tonight.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Who else is even on that Magic team?
They traded the hair guy, right?
Yeah.
Alfred Payton. They got Vucevic still.
Yeah. Aaron Gordon.
I like Aaron Gordon.
That's about
my Magic knowledge.
That
Aaron
is
Gordon and Boucher. That's a crap team.
That is a crappy team.
Evan Fournier.
Fournier.
Is he making like $17 million a year?
Yeah, he is.
Man.
Yeah.
That's a bad team.
Yeah, they're going to get.
It could be worse, Bucks fans.
Exactly. He could be the Magic.
He could be Memphis.
He could be Memphis, exactly. Bucks fans, though, should pay attention to this Toronto team and just see how players can develop. And, yeah, they are still young. Like, DeRozan, if DeRozan could develop an outside jumper, I think Giannis can.
I think Giannis can, too. That'll do it here for our NBA podcast. Still waiting on a name. If you have a name idea, tweet us. Ryan, what's your Twitter?
Ryan Horvat. Nice and easy. H-O-R-V-A-T is how you spell my last name.
And I'm at Cody Grant 2015. That'll do it. That's Ryan Horvat. I'm Cody Grant. That's on NBA Podcast on 105.7 FM The Fan.